In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Christ is risen. Al-Masih come. Christos Anesti. Today, on the third Sunday of Pascha, the Church honors a certain number of disciples, those who were particularly present on Holy Friday, Holy Saturday, at the crucifixion and the resurrection of our Lord. Some of them were public followers, and some of them were secret followers. The Church today is commemorating in particular the myrrh-bearing women, and also Saint Joseph of Arimathea, and Saint Nicodemus, the one who came to the Lord at night. One group were second-class citizens in the time of Christ, and the others were the educated, the nobles of society. Both, however, did demonstrate a selfless love, a selfless commitment to our Lord and God's Savior, Jesus Christ. Both groups, the public and the secret ones, did, in a way, sacrifice or were ready to sacrifice their own reputations and their own livelihood to care for the very body of our Lord Jesus the Christ. We could describe them as having that characteristic of holy boldness. Holy boldness. Boldness could be a natural virtue, but holy boldness is a gift from God. Perhaps pray for that very gift. Who were these women? The evangelists named them, some of them, Mary of Magdala, Mary the mother of James, Salome, the mother of the apostles James and John. Then there's Mary and Martha, the sisters of Lazarus. And then there's Mary, the wife of Cleopas. And there's this woman, Susanna. Out of their own need, records the Gospels, they would take care of the needs of Christ during his public ministry. Now, who was Joseph of Arimathea? He was a wealthy man. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. So he was an educated man, part of the nobility of the Jewish race. St. Mark describes him as an honorable man and someone who was seeking the kingdom of God. And he was a secret disciple of Jesus of Nazareth, he did, when it mattered, took a public stance. He's the one that went to Pilate and boldly asked for the body of Christ. He also went there after our Lord had expired on the cross, and he helped to take our Lord's body down off that Roman symbol, that Roman sign of torture. And he wrapped it in his own linen. And he buried our Lord in his own new tomb. Who was Nicodemus? Nicodemus was a Pharisee. And he too was a member of the Sanhedrin. So he too was a very educated man, part of the noble class of the Jewish race. Now he came to visit our Lord at nighttime. And what did the Lord say about Nicodemus? He called him a master of Israel. The God-man called Nicodemus a master of Israel. Nicodemus was present both at the trial and at the death of Christ. And he bought that precious, expensive myrrh and aloes to anoint the body of our Lord. He too was there on Holy Friday in the evening as the sun was getting ready to set and helped take down our Lord off the cross. And he helped Joseph lay the body of our Lord in Joseph's new tomb. What's common, what's similar for all these women and Joseph and Nicodemus? All of them had selfless love. And yet there was a contrast between them, a contrast between faith and fear. On the one hand, the myrrh-bearing women, along with John the Apostle, a young man, they stood. They stood at the cross on Holy Friday when everybody else abandoned him. They stood. What does that convey? These women had holy boldness. These women displayed courage. Maybe they had acts of fortitude. These women denied themselves in order to serve our Lord and to be with our Lord. They risked their reputations. And more, they risked their personal lives. Because to have been condemned by the Jewish hierarchy, you were a condemned man. You were a man to be scorned, disdained, and you didn't want to be associated with somebody like that. And then on top of that, he's being crucified on a Roman cross, which is Rome's way of saying, you do something like this and you associate with this kind of man, this will happen to you also. And here these women are, standing next to him while he's dying on that cross. Today the church sings about these women, saying, of great mercy. In other words, these women had undaunting faith, motivated by selfless love. They did not cower. Now, on the other hand, we have Joseph and Nicodemus. Again, these were the wealthy men. These are men of power, men of influence. They were, to a great degree, afraid of their compatriots. They were afraid of their fellow brothers in the Sanhedrin. So they followed our Lord in secret. Yet they were still following him, but they didn't have the same boldness as these women did. They weren't willing to take the same risks to the degree that these women were. Yet they still followed our Lord. They still showed up on Holy Friday. They still showed up then that evening. And then in contrast to the myrrh-bearing women, or John the Apostle, who was also there, and Joseph and Nicodemus, in contrast to these, where were all the other apostles? They denied him. They betrayed him. They abandoned the Lord God Savior Jesus of Nazareth. And then when it was all said and done, Jesus the Christ revealed the gift of his resurrection to all of them. To all of them. However, let's note this. The women who traveled with him all the way through his passion, his death, and his burial, to them, they were given the first experience of the resurrection. And they became the first heralds of the greatest news in human history. And so the church calls them apostles. May their example, may their witness then encourage you and me to have a similar holy boldness, a similar fortitude, a similar selfless love, a similar dedication, a similar single-mindedness for the kingdom of heaven. What does that mean? How does that translate into our daily lives? Well, Great Lent was a very intense time. If you truly entered into it. It was intense. A lot of commitment. And then you thought that was commitment. And then you got into Great and Holy Week and it was even more intense. If you really entered into it. So it's not surprising that oftentimes Eastern Catholics, by the time Bright Week comes along, they're exhausted and tired, and that tends to even go into the week of St. Thomas that we just finished. So we slack off a little bit. It's like, well, we did our duty, we got through Lent, and got those holy services We did it all, and so I'm going to rest. I'm going to relax. And so perhaps at this point, you've let a little bit of your daily prayer life slip, or you've come maybe a little comfortable not even coming or thinking about trying to make an effort to come to Friday night Vespers or even Saturday Orthros. Perhaps now, after you finish the great fast, you return maybe to some of those familiar, comfortable indulgences. Maybe you've gone back, slid back into some of that comfortable, secure living, rather than really living that radical way of selfless love. Maybe you've begun to misuse the gift of time again, wasting too much of it on mindless internet searching and reading or watching TV programs that are, frankly, completely a waste of time. Perhaps at this point you may have forgotten the words of Christ. When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me to drink. When I was imprisoned, you visited me. Or when I was discouraged, you offered me a word of comfort. When I was lonely, you offered me some of your time. Maybe you don't have that joy that when people look at you, like they don't really think that you believe that Christ rose from the dead. To those sad Christians with gloomy faces, St. Teresa of Calcutta, Mother Teresa, advised this, quote, "If you truly believe Christ has risen from the dead, you might want to inform your face." May the example of the holy myrrh bearers, may the example of St. Joseph of Arimathea, may the example of St. Nicodemus, the disciple of the night, today bring a little conviction to recommit your life to Christ again. Take into heart maybe the words of St. Ambrose of Optima, who lived in the 1800s, lived incredibly that life of self-denial, the life of struggle against the carnal desires, the desires of the flesh, those passions and appetites. So that he's finally in his life truly freed of himself, that he really just gave himself to other people to a point of exhaustion. It didn't matter because he was so filled with selfless love, because he was so emptied of his own selfishness. And as he served all these different people on the streets or in the monastery or whoever would come to him, he'd ask this question. Do you want Christ? Do you want Christ? Go to the holy mysteries, and there you'll find him. Heed the words that the God-man taught us. Eat my body, drink my blood. And yet, how many reasons do we find not to come to a liturgy during the week? Might we heed the Paschal Ode 5, quote, "Let us rise at break of dawn. Let us bring hymns of praise to the master of ointments. And we shall see the Son of Righteousness causing life to dawn for all. Christ is risen. Amen."